These promises are fair, the party sure, and our induction full of prosperous hope.
Lord Mortimer and Cousin Glendower, will you sit down? And Uncle Worcester. A plague upon it. I have forgot the map.
No, here it is. Sit, Cousin Percy. Sit, good Cousin Hotspur. For by that name, as oft as Lancaster doth speak of you, his cheek looks pale, and with a rising sigh he wisheth you in heaven.
And you in hell, as oft as he hears Owen Glendower spoke of.
I cannot blame him. At my nativity, the front of heaven was full of fiery shapes, of burning cressets, and at my birth the frame and huge foundation of the earth shaked like a coward.
Why, so it would have done at the same season if your mother's cat had but kittened, though you yourself had never been born.
I say the earth did shake when I was born.
And I say the earth was not of my mind, if you suppose, as fearing you, it shook.
The heavens were all on fire. The earth did tremble.
Oh, then the earth shook to see the heavens on fire, and not in fear of your nativity. Diseased nature oftentimes breaks forth in strange eruptions. Oft the teeming earth is with a kind of colic pinched and vexed by the imprisoning of unruly wind within her womb, which, for enlargement striving, shakes the old beldam earth and topples down steeples and moss-grown towers. At your birth, our grandam earth, having this distemperature, in passion shook.
Cousin, of many men I do not bear these crossings. Give me leave to tell you once again that at my birth the front of heaven was full of fiery shapes, the goats ran from the mountains, and the herds were strangely clamorous to the frighted fields. These signs have marked me extraordinary, and all the courses of my life do show I am not in the role of common men. Where is he living, clipped in with a sea that chides the banks of England, Scotland, Wales, which calls me pupil, or hath read to me? And bring him out that is but woman's son, can trace me in the tedious ways of art, and hold me pace in deep experiments.
I think there's no man speaks better Welsh. I'll to dinner.
Peace, Cousin Percy, you will make him mad.
I can call spirits from the very deep.
Why, so can I, or so can any man. But will they come when you do call for them?
Why, I can teach you, cousin, to command the devil.
And I can teach thee, cuz, to shame the devil by telling truth. Tell truth and shame the devil. If thou have power to raise him, bring him hither, and I'll be sworn I have power to shame him hence. Oh, while you live, tell truth and shame the devil.
Come, come, no more of this unprofitable chat.
3 times hath Henry Bolingbroke made head against my power. 3 times from the banks of Wye and Sandy Bottom 7 have I sent him bootless home and weather-beaten back.
Home without boots, and in foul weather, too. How scapes he agues in the devil's name?
Come, here's the map. Shall we divide our right according to our threefold order ten?
The archdeacon hath divided it into 3 limits very equally. England, from Trent and Severn hitherto, by south and east, is to my part assigned. All westward, Wales beyond the Severn shore, and all the fertile land within that bound, to Owen Glendower. And, dear cuz, to you, the remnant northward lying off from Trent. And our indentures, tripartite, are drawn, which, being sealed interchangeably, a business that this knight may execute. Tomorrow, Cousin Percy, you and I and my good lord of Worcester will set forth to meet your father and the Scottish power, as is appointed us at Shrewsbury. My father Glendower is not ready yet, nor shall we need his help these 14 days. Within that space you may have drawn together your tenants, friends, and neighboring gentlemen.
A shorter time shall send me to your lords. And in my conduct shall your ladies come, from whom you now must steal and take no leave. For there will be a world of water shed upon the parting of your wives and you.
Methinks my moiety, north from Burton here, in quantity equals not one of yours. See how this river comes me cranking in and cuts me from the best of all my land, a huge half-moon, a monstrous cantle out. I'll have the current in this place dammed up, and here the smug and silver Trent shall run in a new channel fair and evenly. It shall not wind with such a deep indent to rob me of so rich a bottom here.
Not wind? It shall. It must. You see, it doth.
Yea, but mark how he bears his course and runs me up with like advantage on the other side, gelding the opposed continent as much as on the other side it takes from you.
Yea, but a little charge will trench him here, and on the north side win this cape of land, and then he runs straight and even.
I'll have it so. A little charge will do it.
I will not have it altered.
Will not you?
No, nor you shall not.
Who shall say me nay?
Why, that will I.
Let me not understand you, then. Speak it in Welsh.
I can speak English, Lord, as well as you. For I was trained up in the English court, where, being but young, I framed to the harp many an English ditty lovely well, and gave that tongue a helpful ornament, a virtue that was never seen in you.
Marry, and I am glad of it with all my heart. I had rather be a kitten and cry mew than one of these same-meter ballad mongers. I had rather hear a brazen canstick turned, or a dry wheel grate on the axle tree, and that would set my teeth nothing on edge, nothing so much as mincing poetry. 'Tis like the forced gait of a shuffling nag.
Come, you shall have Trent turned.
I do not care. I'll give thrice so much land to any well-deserving friend, but in the way of bargain, mark ye me, I'll cavil on the ninth part of a hair. Are the indentures drawn? Shall we be gone?
The moon shines fair. You may away by night. I'll haste the writer, and withal, break with your wives of your departure hence. I am afraid my daughter will run mad, so much she doteth on her Mortimer.
Fie, cousin Percy, how you cross my father.
I cannot choose. Sometime he angers me with telling me of the Mouldwarp and the ant, of the dreamer Merlin and his prophecies, and of a dragon and a finless fish, a clip-winged griffin and a molten raven, couching lion and a ramping cat, and such a deal of skimble-scamble stuff as puts me from my faith. I tell you what, he held me last night at least 9 hours in reckoning up the several devils' names that were his lackeys. I cried, and well, go to, but marked him not a word. Oh, he is as tedious as a tired horse, a railing wife, worse than a smoky house. I'd rather live with cheese and garlic in a windmill far than feed on cates and have him talk to me in any summer house in Christendom.
In faith, he is a worthy gentleman, exceedingly well-read and profited in strange concealments, valiant as a lion and wondrous affable and as bountiful as mines of India. Oh. Shall I tell you, cousin? He holds your temper in a high respect, and curbs himself even of his natural scope when you come cross his humor. Faith, he does. I warrant you, that man is not alive might so have tempted him as you have done, without the taste of danger and reproof. But do not use it oft, let me entreat you.
In faith, my lord, you are to willful blame. And since your coming here have done enough to put him quite besides his patience. You must needs learn, Lord, to amend this fault, though sometimes it show greatness, courage, blood, and that's the dearest grace it renders you. Yet oftentimes it doth present harsh rage, defect of manners, want of government, pride, haughtiness, opinion, and disdain, the least of which, haunting a nobleman, loseth men's hearts and leaves behind a stain upon the beauty of all parts besides, beguiling them of commendation.
Well, I am schooled. Good manners be your speed. Here come our wives, and let us take our leave.
Oh, this is the deadly spite that angers me. My wife can speak no English. I know Welsh.
My daughter weeps. She will not part with you. She'll be a soldier, too. She'll to the wars.
Good father, tell her that she and my Aunt Percy shall follow in your conduct speedily.
Kari vivo gidati, vim lada igastalag unru ur. Adawa imohono di vind arbende hinen.
My eindu orhomendi, I aros ama, ach thod gidami ar agidawas Percy an hoyarach.
Witin medul arar hoson I ama trae vod eun amadael.
She is desperate here. A peevish self-willed harlotry, one that no persuasion ten can do good upon.
Muin du. Piet am gadael I ama.
Oh, I understand thy looks. That pretty Welsh which thou pourest down from these swelling heavens I am too perfect in. And but for shame in such a parley should I answer thee.
Hiera vi gadavi, fa anwa ur.
I understand thy kisses, and thou mine, and that's a feeling disputation. but I will never be a truant love till I have learned thy language. For thy tongue makes Welsh as sweet as ditties highly penned, sung by a fair queen in a summer's bower with ravishing division to her lute.
Nay, if you melt, then will she run mad?
Gurweda gitami ama. Agurandua argan ana erwiti morhof ohoni.
Oh, I am ignorance itself in this.
She bids you on the wanton rushes lay you down, and rest your gentle head upon her lap. And she will sing the song that pleaseth you, and on your eyelids crown the god of sleep, charming your blood with pleasing heaviness, making such difference twixt wake and sleep as is the difference betwixt day and night, the hour before the heavenly harness team begins his golden progress in the east.
With all my heart I'll sit and hear her sing. By that time will our book, I think, be drawn.
Do so. And those musicians that shall play to you, hang in the air 1,000 leagues from hence, and straight they shall be here. Sit and attend.
Come, Kate. Thou art perfect in lying down. Come, quick, quick, that I may lay my head in thy lap.
Go, ye giddy goose.
In thy tree, Calvarii.
Now I perceive the devil understands Welsh. It is no marvel he is so humorous. By our lady, he is a good musician.
Then should you be nothing but musical, for you are altogether governed by humors. Lie still, you be, and hear the lady sing in Welsh.
I'd rather hear lady my brach howl Irish.
Dost thou have thy head broke?
No.
Then be still.
Neither. 'Tis a woman's fault.
Oh, God, help thee.
To the Welsh lady's bed.
What's that?
Peace, she sings.
Marco God vel tuiso kirgad ni da bit peno livengari ro de viu tros cumri ai vlad men cor wet in oir dan a wibren Arkelin in a castech in glid, dim sonom tigwind linen zio, kusk vum abon mun head und a grid.
Come, Kate, I'll have your song too.
Not mine in good sooth.
Not yours in good sooth? Heart. You swear like a comfit maker's wife. Not you in good sooth, and as true as I live, and as God shall mend me, and as sure as day, and give such sarsenet surety for thy oaths, as if thou never walk'st further than Finsbury. Swear me, Kate, like a lady as thou art, a good mouth-filling oath, and leave in sooth and such protest of peppered gingerbread to velvet guards and Sunday citizens. Come, sing.
I will not sing.
'Tis the next way to turn tailor or be redbreast teacher. And the indentures be drawn, I'll away within these 2 hours. And so, come in when you will.
Come, come, Lord Mortimer. You are as slow as hot Lord Percy is on fire to go. By this our book is drawn. We'll but seal, and then to horse immediately.
With all my heart.
Lords, give us leave. Prince of Wales and I must have some private conference. But be near at hand, for we shall presently have need of you.
Yes, my lord.
I know not whether God will have it so, for some displeasing service I have done, that in his secret doom out of my blood he'll breed revengement and a scourge from me. But thou dost in thy passages of life make me believe that thou art only marked for the hot vengeance and the rod of heaven to punish my mistreadings. Tell me else, could such inordinate and low desire, such poor, such base, such lewd, such mean attempts, such barren pleasures, rude society as thou art matched withal and grafted to, accompany the greatness of thy blood and hold their level with thy princely heart?
So please, your majesty, I could quit all offenses with as clear excuse, as well as I am doubtless I can purge myself of many I am charged withal. Yet such extenuation let me beg, as in reproof of many tales devised, which off the ear of greatness needs must hear, by smiling pick thanks and base newsmongers, I may, for some things true, wherein my youth hath faulty wandered and irregular, find pardon on my true submission.
God pardon thee! Yet let me wonder, Harry, at thy affections, which do hold a wing quite from the flight of all thy ancestors. Thy place in council thou hast rudely lost, which by thy younger brother is supplied, and art almost an alien to the hearts of all the court and princes of my blood. The hope and expectation of thy time is ruined, and the soul of every man prophetically doth forethink thy fall. Had I so lavish of my presence been, so common hackneyed in the eyes of men, so stale and cheap to vulgar company, opinion that did help me to the crown had still kept loyal to possession and left me in reputeless banishment, a fellow of no mark nor likelihood. By being seldom seen, I could not stir, but like a comet I was wondered at, that men would tell their children, this is he, and others would say, where, which is Bolingbroke? And then I stole all courtesy from heaven, and dressed myself in such humility that I did pluck allegiance from men's hearts, loud shouts and salutations from their mouths, even in the presence of the crowned king. Thus did I keep my person fresh and new, my presence like a robe pontifical, ne'er seen, but wondered at. And so my state, seldom but sumptuous, showed like a feast, and won by rareness such solemnity. The skipping king, he ambled up and down with shallow jesters and rash, bavin wits, soon kindled and soon burnt, carded his state, mingled his royalty with capering fools, had his great name profaned with their scorns, and gave his countenance against his name to laugh at jibing boys and stand the push of every beardless vain comparative, grew a companion to the common streets, enfeefed himself to popularity, that being daily swallowed by men's eyes, they surfeited with honey, and began to loathe the taste of sweetness, whereof a little more than a little is by much too much. So when he had occasion to be seen, he was but as the cuckoo is in June, heard, not regarded, seen but with such eyes as, sick and blunted with community, afford no extraordinary gaze, such as is bent on sun-like majesty when it shines seldom in admiring eyes, but rather drowsed and hung their eyelids down, slept in his face, and rendered such aspect as cloudy men use to their adversaries, being with his presence glutted, gorged, and full. And in that very line, Harry, standst thou. For thou hast lost thy princely privilege with vile participation. Not an eye, but is a weary of thy common sight. Save mine, which hath desired to see thee more, which now doth that I would not have it do, make blind itself with foolish tenderness.
I shall hereafter, my thrice gracious lord, be more myself.
For all the world, as thou art to this hour, was Richard then, when I from France set foot at Ravensburg. And e'en as I was then, is Percy now. Now by my scepter and my soul to boot, he hath more worthy interest to the state than thou, the shadow of succession. For of no right, nor colour like to right, he doth fill fields with harness in the realm, turns head against the lion's armed jaws, and, being no more in debt to years than thou, leads ancient lords and reverend bishops on to bloody battles and to bruising arms. What never dying honour hath he got against renowned Douglas, whose high deeds, whose hot incursions and great name in arms holds from all soldiers chief majority and military title capital through all the kingdoms that acknowledge Christ? Thrice hath this Hotspur, Mars in swaddling clothes, this infant warrior in his enterprises discomfited great Douglas, ta'en him once, enlarged him, and made a friend of him, to fill the mouth of deep defiance up and shake the peace and safety of our throne. And what say you to this? Percy, Northumberland, the Archbishop's Grace of York, Douglas, Mortimer, capitulate against us and are up. But wherefore do I tell these news to thee? Why, Harry, do I tell thee of my foes, which art my nearest and dearest enemies?
Sir.
Thou that art like enough, through vassal fear, base inclination, and the start of spleen, to fight against me under Percy's pay, to dog his heels and curtsy at his frowns, to show how much thou art degenerate.
Do not think it so. You shall not find it so. And God forgive them that so much have swayed your majesty's good thoughts away from me. I will redeem all of this on Percy's head, and in the closing of some glorious day be bold to tell you that I am your son, when I will wear a garment all of blood and stain my favors in a bloody mask, which washed away shall scour my shame with it. And that shall be the day, whene'er it lights, that this same child of honor and renown, this gallant Hotspur, this all-praised knight and your unthought-of Harry chance to meet. For every honor sitting on his helm, would they were multitudes, and on my head my shame's redoubled. For the time will come that I shall make this northern youth exchange his glorious deeds for my indignities. Percy is but my factor, good my lord, to engross up glorious deeds on my behalf, and I will call him to so strict account that he shall render every glory up, yea, even the slightest worship of his time, or I will tear the reckoning from his heart. This in the name of God I promise here, the which, if he be pleased, I shall perform. I do beseech your majesty may salve the long-grown wounds of my intemperance. If not, the end of life cancels all bans, and I will die 100,000 deaths ere break the smallest parcel of this vow.
100,000 rebels die in this? Thou shalt have charge and sovereign trust herein.
Sir.
How now? Good Blunt, thy looks are full of speed.
So hath the business that I come to speak of. Lord Mortimer of Scotland hath sent word that Douglas and the English rebels met the 11th of this month at Shrewsbury. Oh, mighty and a fearful head they are, if promises be kept on every hand, as ever offered foul play in a state.
The Earl of Westmoreland set forth today, with my son Lord John of Lancaster, for this advertisement is 5 days old. Oh. On Wednesday next, Harry, you shall set forward. On Thursday, we ourselves will march. Our meeting is Bridgenorth. And Harry, you shall march through Gloucestershire. By which account, our business valued, some 12 days hence, our general forces at Bridgenorth shall meet. Our hands are full of business. Let's away. Advantage feeds them fat while men delay.
Bardolph, am I not fallen away vilely since this last action? Do I not bait? Do I not dwindle? Why, my skin hangs about me like an old lady's loose gown. I'm withered like an old apple, John. Well, I'll repent, and that suddenly, while I am in some liking. I shall be out of heart shortly, and then I shall have no strength to repent. I have not forgotten what the inside of a church is made of. I am a peppercorn or a brewer's horse. The inside of a church. Company, villainous company, hath been the spoil of me.
Sir John, you're so fretful, you cannot live long.
Why, there it is. Come, sing me a bawdy song. Make me merry. I was as virtuously given as a gentleman need to be. Virtuous enough. Swore little. Dice not above 7 times a week. Went to a bawdy house once in a quarter of an hour. Paid money that I borrowed 3 or 4 times. Lived well and in good compass, and now I live out of all order, out of all compass.
Why, you're so fat, Sir John, that you must needs be out of all compass. Out of all reasonable compass, Sir John.
Do thou amend thy face, and I'll amend my life. Thou art our admiral. Thou bearest the lantern in the poop, but 'tis in the nose of thee. Thou art the knight of the burning lamp.
Why, Sir John, my face does you no harm.
Oh, no, I'll be sworn. I make as good use of it as many a man doth a death's head or a memento mori. I never see thy face, but I think upon hellfire and Dives that live in purple. For there he is in his robes, burning, burning. If thou wert any way given to virtue, I would swear by your face. My oath should be, by this fire, that's God's angel. But thou art altogether given over, and were indeed, but for the light in thy face, the sun of utter darkness. When thou ranst up Gad's Hill in the night to catch my horse, if I did not think thou hadst been an ignis fatuus or a ball of wildfire, there's no purchase in money. Thou art a perpetual triumph, an everlasting bonfire. Thou hast saved me 1,000 marks in links and torches, walking with thee in the night betwixt tavern and tavern. But the sack that thou hast drunk me would have bought me lights as good cheap at the dearest chandler's in Europe. I have maintained that salamander of yours with fire any time this 2 and 30 years. God reward me for it.
Splut, I would my face were in your belly.
Oh, God of mercy! So should I be sure to be heart-burned.
Sir John?
Oh, how now, Dame Partlet the Hen? Have you inquired yet who picked my pocket?
No. Oh, why, Sir John? What do you think, Sir John? Do you think I keep thieves in my house? I have searched, I have inquired, so has my husband, man by man, boy by boy, servant by servant. The tithe of a hair was never lost in my house before.
You lied, hostess. Bardolph was shaved and lost many a hair. And I'll be sworn my pocket was picked.
No!
Go to, you are a woman, go.
Who, I? No, I defy thee. God's light, I was never so called in mine own house before.
Go to, I know you well enough.
No, Sir John, you do not know me, Sir John. I know you, Sir John. You owe me money, Sir John, and now you pick a quarrel to beguile me of it. I bought you 12 of shirts to your back.
Dowless, filthy dowless. I have given them away to bakers' wives, and they have made bolters of them.
Oh, now, as I am a true woman, Holland of 8 shillings an ell. You owe money here besides, Sir John, for your diet and by-drinkings, and money lent you, 24 pounds.
Oh, he had his part of it. Let him pay.
He? Alas, he is poor. He hath nothing.
Oh, how poor? Look upon his face. What call you rich? Let them coin his nose. Let them coin his cheeks. I'll not pay a denier. What, will you make a younker of me? Shall I not take mine ease in my inn, but I shall have my pocket picked?
Ugh.
I have lost a seal ring of my grandfather's worth 40 marks.
Oh, Jesu! I have heard the prince tell him, I know not how oft, that that ring was copper.
Oh, how? The prince is a jack, a sneak cup. Splud, and he were here, I would cudgel him like a dog if he would say so. How now, lad? Is the wind at the door, i'faith? Must we all march?
Hey, 2 and 2, Newgate fashion.
My lord, I pray you hear me.
What sayest thou, mistress, quickly? How doth thy husband? I love him well. He is an honest man.
Oh, good, my lord. Hear me?
Prithee, let her alone and list to me.
What sayest thou, Jack?
The other night, I fell asleep here behind the arras and had my pocket picked.
Oh.
This house is turned bawdy house. They pick pockets.
What didst thou lose, Jack?
Wilt thou believe me, Hal? 3 or 4 bonds of 40 pound apiece, and a seal ring of my grandfather's.
A trifle, some 8 penny meant.
Oh. So I told him, my lord, and I said I heard your grace say so. And, my lord, he speaks most vilely of you, like a foul-mouthed man as he is, and said he would cudgel you.
What? He did not.
There's neither faith, nor truth, nor womanhood in me else.
There's no more faith in thee than in a strewed prune. Nor no more truth in thee than in a drawn fox. And as for womanhood, Maid Marian may be the deputy's wife of the ward to thee. Go, you thing, go.
Say, what thing? What thing?
What thing? Why, a thing to thank God on.
I am no thing to thank God on. I would thou shouldst know it. I am an honest man's wife, and, setting thy knighthood aside, thou art a knave to call me
setting
so.
Setting thy womanhood aside, thou art a beast to say otherwise.
Say, what beast, thou knave, thou?
What beast? Why, an otter.
What?
An otter, Sir John. Why an otter?
Why, she's neither fish nor flesh. A man knows not where to have her.
Thou art an unjust man in saying so. Thou or any man knows where to have me, thou knave, thou. Oh!
Thou sayest true, hostess, and he slanders thee most grossly.
So he doth you, my lord, and said this the other day you owed him 1,000 pounds.
Sirrah, do I owe you 1,000 pounds?
1,000 pounds? How? 1,000,000. Thy love is worth 1,000,000. Thou owest me thy love.
Nay, my lord, he called you Jack and said he would cudgel you.
Now, did I, Bardolph?
Indeed, Sir John, you said so.
Yea, if he said my ring was copper.
I say 'tis copper. Darest thou be as good as thy word now?
Why, how? Well, thou knowest as thou art but man, I dare, but as thou art prince, I fear thee as I fear the roaring of a lion's whelp.
And why not as the lion?
Oh, the king is to be feared as the lion. Dost thou think I'll fear thee as I fear thy father? Nay, and I do, I pray God my girdle break.
If it should, how would thy guts fall about thy knees? But, sirrah, there's no room for faith, truth, nor honesty in this bosom of thine. It's all filled up with guts and midriff. Charge an honest woman with picking thy pocket. Why, thou whoreson, impudent and bossed rascal, if there were anything in thy pocket but tavern reckonings, memorandums of bawdy houses, and one poor pennyworth of sugar candy, to make thee long-winded, if thy pocket were enriched with any other injuries but these, I am a villain. And yet, you will not stand to it. You will not pocket up wrong. Art thou not ashamed?
Dost thou hear, Hal? Thou knowest in the state of innocency Adam fell, and what should poor Jack Falstaff do in the days of villainy? Thou seest I have more flesh than another man, and therefore more frailty. You confess, then, you picked my pocket?
It appears so by the story.
Oh, hostess, I forgive thee. Uh-huh. Now go make ready breakfast. I love thy husband. Look to thy servants. Cherish thy guest. Thou shalt find me tractable to any honest reason. Thou seest I am pacified still. And I prithee be gone. Now, Hal, to the news at court. For the robbery, lad, how is that answered?
Oh, my sweet beef, I must still be good angel to thee. The money is paid back again.
Oh, I do not like that paying back. 'Tis a double labor.
I am good friends with my father and may do anything.
Rob me the exchequer the first thing thou doest, and do it with unwashed hands.
Do, my lord.
I have procured thee, Jack, a charge of foot.
Would it had been of horse. Where shall I find one that can steal well? Oh, for a fine thief of the age of 22 or thereabouts, I am heinously unprovided. Well, God be thanked for these rebels. They offend none but the virtuous. I laud them. I praise them.
Bardolph.
Lord?
Go bear this letter to Lord John of Lancaster, to my brother John. This to my lord of Westmoreland. Go, Peto, to horse. To horse, for thou and I have 30 miles to ride yet ere dinner time. Jack, meet me tomorrow in the Temple Hall at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There shalt thou know thy charge, and there receive money and order for their furniture. Mm-hmm. The land is burning. Percy stands on high, and either we or they must lower lie.
Rare words, brave world.
Hostess, my breakfast, come!
Oh, I could wish this tavern were my drum.